As we are in the month of November already in this year, and Thanksgiving is looming large, I thought it would be good for us to look at this particular psalm, and we'll do so in two parts. This morning, verses 1, 2, and 3, and next week, Lord willing, verses 4 and 5. The psalm does divide neatly into those two parts, and verse 1 actually is an overarching theme given to the psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And then we have verses 2 and 3 going with that basic theme. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then the following verses, verses 4 and 5, also go with that theme. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. So we're going to look at this psalm in those two parts. And this morning as we bear down on the first three verses of the psalm, I can't help but think about an article that I read yesterday in a magazine which spoke a little bit about our cultural circumstance and the fact that the article didn't say this, but I think it was looming large in the background, the fact that we are living in a culture and a society in which the 1960s have come into their own. Some of us remember the 60s and the rebellion of the 60s and the emphasis on drugs in the 60s and the emphasis on free sex in the 60s. And it's very interesting, is it not, that many of those who were in the counterculture movement in the 60s are now in leadership positions in our government today, 30 years later. And what has transpired is the fact that the 60s have come into their own in our day and age. And those who are vying for more self-discipline, more reservations as far as a life which is libertarian in perspective are looked at askance by those who are the children of the 60s. It's quite interesting that this is the case. And I think this comes out in our psalm because in actuality, folks, what it boils down to is that Christians are now in the counter position today in our culture and in our society. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Who wants to hear those words in our culture today? Serve the Lord with gladness. Who wants to hear those words in our culture today? Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. No. Young men and women who have built a culture and a society for themselves today look at themselves as the ones who have built it all and done the work. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us. No, we're self-made. We are His people. No, we're our own. And the sheep of His pasture. The psalm speaks directly to our culture and our society. And I think we have to see that that's the case as we look into it. And so what we see, first of all, is that God issues a gospel call to all the earth to joyfully join in the victorious shout of conquest and praise. And I put it that way very specifically for a very particular reason, because I do think, and many of the commentators do say that this first verse in Psalm 100 is a gospel call. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. You see, this is not a call which is issued just to those who are in the pale of the Christian church. This is a call which is issued to all the earth to come before God. And we are called by God to issue that gospel call to all the earth. It's of no small consequence, it seems to me, that the very same word is used in many different contexts. That is the word shout joyfully. That's one word in the Hebrew language. It is used in many different contexts, and one of the places it is used is in that story we read earlier where the people of Israel marched around Jericho, and they did so 7 times, or for 7 days, and on the 7th day, they did so 7 times, and God said to them, you are to march around on that 7th day 7 times, and on the 7th time, when the command is given, you are to shout. And it's the very word we have in our psalm, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. You are to shout, and what will happen? The walls of the city will come down, and they will lie flat on the ground, and you will be able to march straight forward into the city of Jericho. I think that's a grand picture, folks. I think it's a grand picture of the fact that, as Jesus put it, the kingdom of God grows. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the gates of Jericho and the walls of Jericho could not withstand the kingdom of our God. And when the people shouted, what happened? The walls fell down. And the captives were set free. The kingdom of God, as an avalanche, went into that city. And it was a changed city. It became the possession of God and of God's people. You know, it's an amazing thing that when people like us are converted, we are brought out of darkness into light. And we are brought out from under the rule and the domain of the devil. And we are brought under the rule and the domain of Jesus Christ. We have a new Lord. And the confession of the Christian church is simple. Jesus is Lord. And we are to sing that great confession with joy in our hearts. We are to shout joyfully to the Lord. And those who understand the gospel call and come to Jesus Christ know full well that they have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, that the walls have come crumbling down, and that they are free, and free indeed, and that they are now servants of a new Lord and a new Master, and their hearts resonate with the joy of God, and they are prepared, therefore, to shout joyfully to the Lord. That's what the text is about. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And the gospel call is simple, is it not? The gospel call is simple in that men and women are called to repent of sin and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The gates of hell will not prevail against that gospel call. And men and women will be freed from the domain of darkness and be reestablished in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we therefore then can shout joyfully to the Lord. And we can say to all the earth that Jesus is King. I think that's the essence of this first verse, and it sets the tone of the song. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 2, Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. God calls us to gladly serve Him in this world and regularly come to Him in worship and praise. You know, it's a very interesting thing that the Psalm says, serve the Lord with gladness. Paul says that we were once servants of sin, but now we are servants of righteousness, servants of God. You know what a great thing that is. Those who are servants of sin do not have a disposition in their hearts, a willingness in their hearts to serve God with gladness. Paul says in Romans that those who are outside of Christ despise the law of God. They hate it. And they are not able even to submit to the law of God. They are not able to because they do not desire to in any way at all. It's a very interesting phenomenon. But those who answer the gospel call and are brought into the kingdom of life gladly serve the Lord. They love God's Word. And they love His righteousness and want to follow Him. And so God calls us to gladly serve Him in the world, in all that we do, and to regularly come before Him in worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. No matter whether it's in the classroom or at home or on the job. What are you doing? Are you serving the Lord our God in that work? Come before Him with joyful singing. Yes, we are to do that. And that's one of the reasons we come together, is to joyously sing the praises of our God. The very end of the book of Hebrews has an interesting statement in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, through Him then, through Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. We are to offer up sacrifices of praise to God. In the Old Testament economy, they brought calves and bulls and goats to sacrifice on an altar. Today we are to bring the praise of God, lips filled with praise, hearts filled with praise. That is our modern day sacrifice. We are to come before Him with joyful singing. And how do we come before Him? There's only one way that we can come before Him, and that is through Jesus Christ. This Christ who came into the world, who lived a perfect life, who died on Calvary's cross, who was raised again from the dead on the third day, who ascended into heaven and sits presently at the right hand of God the Father Almighty as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Lord. That's why the basic Christian confession is Jesus is Lord. And we come into the presence of God only through Jesus Christ. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. You know, Christians are sometimes criticized because others will say, well, you're too narrow. You know what my response to that is? Fine. Jesus said it's a narrow way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many people are on that path. Narrow is the way that leads to life. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Through trusting in His absolutely perfect life and trusting in His absolutely perfect death, You see, when you trust in His perfect life, you do not trust in your own works to get you to heaven. You trust in the work of Jesus Christ, His perfect life. When you trust in His absolutely perfect death, you realize that you are a sinner and that sin clings to you very closely and that you cannot possibly enter into heaven without forgiveness. And you trust in the death of Jesus Christ. You come into His presence having answered the gospel call and knowing the refreshing forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And therefore you shout for joy and sing for joy. And so I say in the second point, God calls us to gladly serve Him in this world and regularly come to Him in worship and in praise. God grant that we would do so. And then the third verse says, know that the Lord Himself is God. Know that the Lord is God. We must know Jehovah, the great I Am, the one giving the law at Sinai as our Creator God. We must know Him. I'm astounded by the fact that the very first commandment, you shall have no other gods before Me, is expounded in the Westminster Shorter Catechism in this way. What is required in the first commandment? Answer, the first commandment requires us to know God as the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly. The first commandment requires us to know God. This is absolutely amazing. Jesus says in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ, His only Son. Knowing God and having that relationship with God through Jesus Christ is to have eternal life. And when we answer the call of God, and when we enter into His presence through Jesus Christ, it is only then that we know Him. Know that the Lord Himself is God. The word Lord here is the word Jehovah. The word God here is the word Elohim. It is Elohim who is the Creator. It is God who made the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And it is this God who met the people at Sinai and formed them as a people and gave Him the Ten Commandments, or gave them the Ten Commandments. Jehovah is God, is the Creator, and we must know Him as such. And so we come into the presence of this Creator God to worship Him and to adore Him. We do so because we ought to realize that we are not self-created, folks. We are not self-created physically or spiritually on either an individual or a corporate level. Verse 3 again. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. It is very popular in scientific circles these days to talk about self-creation. In the evening classes, we've been looking at some videos that talk about this a little bit. And I grant you it's over our heads somewhat, but we see that one of the popular scientific propositions set before us today is the proposition of self-creation. How can that be? How can individuals be self-created? How can we be before we are? Is that possible? No, it's not possible. Yet many in the scientific realm are vying for that kind of idiotic, may I say, kind of thinking, because they are resolved to the proposition there is no God. It is a very sad thing that this is the case. But we know, do we not, that we are created beings, we are dependent beings. All we have to do is look at our families, and we know that we did not bring ourselves into this world. There is no such thing as self-creation. God Himself is not in this category. And the reason God Himself is not in this category is that He too could not be, exist, before He existed. He is the Eternal One who has always existed. And there is nothing inherently contradiction about the fact that God has always existed, always been, and we are the ones who have come into being as a result of His activity, His will, His purposes. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. I think it's absolutely amazing how this psalm, penned centuries ago, can be so up to date. So we are not self-created physically or spiritually. I submit to you that we are not only not self-created physically, but we are not self-created spiritually. We come into this world as spiritually dead, and dead people do not change themselves, but must be changed by God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And this includes the spiritual aspect of our being. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? We can change that too. Can the Caucasian change his skin? Absolutely not. Can the leopard change his spots? No. Can a dead man rise again? No. I think it is very beautiful how the Bible puts it. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He has caused us to be born again by His work. We are not self-created physically or spiritually or corporately. Who is it that brought us together? You know, as I look at this church family, I have to laugh a little, because I think it is only God who could bring a group of people like this together. Only God could do that. People of such diversity, and it's a wonderful thing. It really is. Only God could do that. And I am thankful that that's the case. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Dear friends, if we have answered the call of the gospel, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden," if we have truly repented of sin and placed faith in Jesus Christ, if this is the case, we are His people. We are God's people. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are His servants, and we are the sheep of His pasture. And so I say, in the final point, we are sheep in God's pasture as we answer His call, work in His world, and worship in His church. Isn't that a great thing? And as you work day by day in this world, is it not the case that you are in God's pasture? What is this world anyway, if it is not God's vineyard, God's pasture? If it does not all belong to God by right of creation, and we in it as redeemed people working and laboring are His servants, His sheep. Do you know what sheep need? Sheep need shepherd. Someone to whom they look, who stands before them and calls them, and guides them. But of course, Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. You know what I think our response to that ought to be? Verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord. That ought to be our response. And our further response ought to be, as we look at all of the earth, and all of the people of the earth, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. That, dear friends, ought to be our response as we contemplate the fact that God has been pleased to call us to Himself, to recreate us in Christ Jesus, to give us vocations and avocations in this world, and lead us in this life in His great world, His great pasture. Hear the words of the psalm once again. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture.